end of it. The content of the outline is the same. It's just the front end of it. I had drafted that yesterday, and then I went in this morning and made some adjustments to put some subtitles underneath it and change around the title, and that's not the draft you ended up getting. So, but again, the content of the outline is the same. Chicago event. I wanted to talk about the Chicago event. Everybody knows about ManaQuest coming up. Make sure you plan to attend. If you can get there, at whatever it takes to get there, September 9th and 10th. I attached to today's outline actually the training sessions that will be going on there. We're going to again try to accumulate outlines from the training sessions so we can make them available to people. But there are a lot of great trainings going on. And if you don't have an idea which ones to go to, talk to your upline, because you really don't want to go to the wrong ones. It's not that they're wrong trainings, but where you are in your business really makes the difference of what you need to most impact you to move forward. Hello? I can hear you. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, so make sure you pick and choose the ones that are going to best support you in moving forward in your business. And that's all I tell people, because there's a lot of great stuff out there, and you want to make sure the ones that you're choosing, since you only have a couple selections to go to, you want to get the best bang for the buck, as we say. And if you're going with a group of 3, 4, 5 people, then make sure that you spread yourselves out. I mean, don't all hang out together and go to the same training. Spread out, and then, like, at nighttime, sit down and just, you know, share notes, exchange ideas, exchange notes, and that's a way you can get to, you know, attend 10 trainings instead of just 2 while you're there. So that's what I tell all my people, is always spread out, make sure you go to different ones, and then everybody get together and share the information that you've collected so that you can get the benefit of every one of those trainings. The Glycomics Conference, I continue to support that. It's coming up at Woodlands, Texas. October actually starts on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, October 7th, 8th, and 9th. There's a dark link letter is going to be the special guest of honor on Friday night's banquet, so you can choose to go to that. And all day Saturday is the convention, and then Sunday they have some special meetings with a lawyer and Mr. Woolsey talking about ImmunoStart and that group. So you have some special extra events that are available Friday night and Sunday, and Saturday is the full-day conference. So make sure you get information on that. If you don't have it, you can also contact Lydia, and she'll be happy to send out a PDF file on the colored brochure that they have that's going out, the draft. And you can order those directly from J.C. Spencer out of Houston. And if you need the ordering information on those flyers, you can always get a hold of Lydia, too. She'll give you that information. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the stock of Manatech. I've gotten so many inquiries on that. Of course, we're all watching the stock as it climbs up to 26, then it goes down to 19, then it goes to 14, then it goes back to 1950. Less than a month ago, it was at 1950, and now it's down in the 14s again. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, what? And I said, well, it's just this gigantic roller coaster, and you just happen to be on it. No, anyway, let me just try to put some sense to what's happened recently. Of course, we had the great news of our patent being issued, and everybody with the expectation the stock might go up to 24 again or 25. And then we had the second quarter earnings results come out. And as you saw, a lot of you probably saw, we had the number one, the best quarter ever in the history of Manatech. They did over $100 million in sales in the second quarter, which is awesome. But the problem in regards to Wall Street's analysis is that the income generated as a result of that sales didn't change compared to when the sales were a lot lower. They were in the $5 million range in income, and they hit the same income at sales numbers that were $15, $20 million less. So that means your earnings, your profit margin that you're reporting, your income margin as a percentage of sales has gone down. That's not a good statistic. It typically shows bad management, something going wrong in management, some kind of problems that might exist in terms of managing cost controls in place. For Manatech, it can mean everything from international expansion to other things that are happening internally. And so what happens is Wall Street looks at that, and they don't like those kind of numbers. They're looking for, if you have increased sales, they want to see increased income. They don't want to see income staying flat when you have such a huge growth in sales. So that's probably a little bit of what's happening. The Wall Street people are reacting negatively to what second quarter has shown, even though second quarter was our best quarter in sales that we've ever had. Some people ask me, should I buy, should I sell? What I do? Your decision on what you do with the stock is totally your decision. My attitude about it is, are you in it for the long haul or are you in it for the short run? That's the question to ask yourself. because unquestionably this company is really a company of destiny. It has a phenomenal future. It's showing that by the increased sales. It's just growing like gangbusters. So eventually they'll get those internal issues worked out and back on track and income growth. I have no doubt about that. So it's just a matter of, you know, are you hanging in there for the long haul or are you doing it in the short run? If your issue around money is so much in a scarcity that when it goes down a dollar or two, you freak out about it, then I'm going to suggest you probably don't belong in the market at all. Because being able to be in the market and invest in the stock market is for people who have the internal fortitude to be able to hang in during ups and downs and highs and lows and just live through all of that. You know, the worst time to sell is when it drops down. I mean, that's unless you think it's going to zero, which I can't fathom. But I mean, the worst time that you don't want to sell low, you want to buy low and sell high. That's how people make money in the market. So that's just feedback on the stock. So you can take it or leave it. That's not what this whole call is about. But I've had so many inquiries, I just thought I'd share with you a little bit of insight that I had in it. And, you know, everybody's got different opinions about it. That just gives you some from somebody who's been in the stock market all her life. And it's, you know, I'm not selling my Manotech stock. I wouldn't sell it, you know, ever at this level. I would buy more. That's what I think. It's a good time to what I call double down on it, because it's probably, at one point I didn't think we'd ever see the stock below 20 again. I surely don't think it's ever going below 14 again. So if you can buy it at 14, if you bought it at 18, now's a chance to buy it at 14 to average your price down. So, sure. It's internal cost controls. Oh, no, you guys are doing an awesome job. You couldn't be doing really, you guys are all doing a phenomenal job. What you're doing is you're bringing, that's why sales are up. When sales go over $100 million in a quarter, that means the people in the field are doing an awesome job. When the income doesn't correspondingly rise as the sales go up, it just means that there's some cost control issues going on internally in the company. Because you're adding tons more sales, but you're not seeing it hit the bottom line. Does that make sense to you? And that's therein lies the problem. So Manotech's just got to get a handle on with some of those things. And I know it's part of its growing pains and all the other things that are going on. They know they've been losing money on shipping for months, and in fact a couple of years now. And they're making an adjustment in shipping costs, and we saw that happen. So they're going after tackling some of the issues where they had, you know, money-losing propositions and also some of the other cost centers involved in the company. And I just have utmost confidence in Terry Persinger that he can get on top of those things. So, you bet. Okay. Well, I think that people who have gotten involved in Manotech in 1994 and 5 and 6, they've been in this company for 10, 12 years, and they've never seen a big payday for themselves, and I think that's what you're seeing happen with some of the people that have been around, like Eileen Venom and Bill McAnally. I mean, these guys have been on board over 10 years in this company, and this is, you know, they're just cashing out a lot of this stock. They still own a lot of shares, and in my heart of hearts, you got to look at the people that are really the longevity guys. Sam Castor hasn't sold one share of his stock at this point in time. Ray Robbins isn't selling his stock, so you look at the guys who are really committed to the long haul of this thing. I think Bill is just looking for, you know, he hasn't had a big payday and he went to get it. And I have no problem with Bill doing that. I think it's a terrific thing for him. I think he deserves every dime that he makes in the whole thing. He's just done an awesome job. He created Ambertos, and we got to look at what he's contributed. And Bill's getting, you know, he's more into the research end, not into the business side of it. So, you know, if you saw a CEO start dumping stock, I would tell you that would be a problem. Because now that you got somebody who's running the company, Bill's never run the company. All he's ever been is a person that's been part of the science team. So those people aren't making any kind of judgment calls. Don't read anything into Bill's dumping that he thinks the company's on a downhill track, okay? That would be a very erroneous way of looking at Bill's transactions in the stock. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. The most recent information I've gotten is end of September, but I don't know if that's close or not. Does anyone else on the call know about the tablets? Yeah. I keep telling people, just buy an encapsulator and make your own. No, you can do that yourself. But my understanding, got it. I understand. All right, you'd be missing encapsulating queen. And I agree. And I still have people, too, that are continuing to tell me they don't like the flavor of the new Amber Toast, so they're really kind of frustrated with that. So I'm excited about the caplets coming out. And hopefully by the end of September we'll see them. Okay? Uh-huh. Well, then, specifically the 99-pack, when you buy it on the computer, the cost was $4.50, and now it's $9.50. That, I continue getting tons of flack from the field. I mean, I get customers that, I mean, they're profusely complaining. Huge. Well, it's not even, and they, see, and the interesting thing is, I'm getting this huge flack from the field, from prospects that were signing up. They never saw the $4.50, but man, are they reacting to $9.50. I mean, $10 on a $100 order is a lot of dollars for shipping. So, it's Sure. You want to impact them? You send an email to Associate Advisory Council and you complain about it, and if enough of you are going to voice it out in the field, that's when they'll respond. Advisory, hang on a second. I don't know. Does anyone know what it is? Associate Counsel, it's associatecounsel@manatech.com. Associatecounsel@manatech.com. And just, you know, voice your opinion, but you know, talk about what you're seeing out in the field and the backlash. I think it's, you know. Got it. Yeah, well, it's just what we hear, and I don't like to create flack out of nowhere. I don't like to create negativity out of nowhere. I'd rather they increase the price of the products, because people look at that sales, you know, that sales tax or that shipping and handling as an income source for Manatech, and they get mad. And I know there's no justification for it. You can say whatever you want. But when you get that kind of feedback from people signing up, that's what I don't like to have to address, because it's like we're making an issue out of air. Just add an increase to the price of the products if you want to make more money, if that's what you want to do. I mean, I'd rather see that than something, especially when they get a $9.50 pack on a one product, and then the next box that they get has got six products in it, and it costs $6.99. There's no rationale that can tell me that this is truly a shipping cost. It's more than a shipping cost because it can't reflect the shipping cost of those two different boxes. It doesn't make any sense. There's no common sense to it, and that's what causes the problem. There's no logic to it. Shipping cost what? For packs. Oh, in the title to the Associate Counsel? Good. Well, that's great. So there's your feedback, people. So, you know. Anyway, okay, great. Well, let's jump in. I know I wanted to kick off. We talked about a lot of different things, and I know my outline's not very long today, so we really did have some extra time to discuss some of this stuff. Before we get started, I just wanted to ask, I had a great, you know, one of my people and the executive directors out in the field is working with an MD out of the Atlanta, Georgia area. Her name is Ginger Rausch, and I just wanted her to share. Ginger, are you on? Great. Ginger, she just gave me some incredible information today about a conversation she had with him, and I said, Ginger, would you just get on the call this morning for sure and share that with everybody? I just think it was such an awesome comment. So, Ginger, you want to just give a little background and what the doctor had to say? Ginger. That's terrific. I loved it so much. It's all about perseverance, you know. And this is from an MD, people. This came right out of the mouth of a medical doctor who sees the vision, said he foresees in the future Manatech winning the Nobel Prize for this discovery. Isn't that great? I just thought that was pretty awesome. So I wanted to share it with all of you just to keep you on track. And, you know, that's what's happening out there, people. We're getting more and more of that from the field. So it's time we just really dig in our heels. And I want everybody out there to be the bulldog. Not the pit bulldog, but the bulldog. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to share with you, I think the glyconutrients work on every human being on the face of the earth. I think the problem, what he's talking about, is statistically, if you go out in the field, there are a lot of associates say, well, I put in this person and they didn't get the results, or they, you know, are you following me? But I think that the results, number one, some of the results that they're looking for, they may not be getting, but they're getting other results that they may not be seeing, because they're clear that this is a nutrient that's going to support the health of the body. So whatever that looks like for that body, we don't always get what we want, but we're getting something. Number two, I think there are a lot of associates out there that give people products because they're in the sales mode, and they don't follow up, and they don't add more, and they don't put a different complement, and they don't get on the phone with them every 2 weeks, and they don't put them on omega-3s, and they don't get them on other things, cleanses out there. Their liver might be shot, so they need to go through a significant liver cleanse. They're not helping them in the overall health picture to allow the products to do the best job they can so that they're best absorbed and best utilized and they're at the right quantities. So I truly believe if you make a commitment up front that you're going to work with each and every person that's in your organization to help them get the results they need, you're going to see that results with everyone. Well, I didn't say it to because you were hoping it. I told you it because I see it happen in my organization. You bet. Sure. Sure. Absolutely. A great source for getting other advice. Yeah. Uh-huh. But it doesn't cost a lot because you can get it on. You can put it on an email, put all your questions down, all the facts, and then the phone call is $3 a minute, but you can spend 2-3 minutes on the call because you've already given her all the stuff to research. All you do is in the questions that you want answered. You want to be very inclusive in that email you send so that the phone call lasts 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. Amen. Absolutely. In fact, when I have a person out there that's not having a response, I expect them to have, besides trying to adjust and add different products and look at what their whole diet looks like too. Now, don't forget diet, people. Diet's crucial. But if I don't get the results that I want to get, then I start worrying in me. I start saying, you know, maybe it's time you get a checkup and get some serious blood work done and MRI, because there could be something else going on in your body that we don't know about. Because I really believe that's true. Just like this gentleman, he had cancer, prolific cancer, and the body was working on that, and he didn't even know it. Sure. There you go. Yeah, your body's going to decide how to use the products. There's no question about that. You don't have it. Okay, great. Oh. There you go. And see, I would have had her on absolute plus, at least 3 to 6 plus, the Ambertose, and I would have put firm on her wherever the neuropathy was, firm, 2 to 3 times a day, wrapped with Glad Wrap. There you go. See the difference? It's just, and don't beat up on yourself for making those kind of mistakes in the early stages. You just didn't know enough. But, you know, also go and tap into sources where you might find better information that might help add to what you would give the person. Because we've had terrific results with neuropathy. Guys, I got to get into the train. I suggest people you tap into their upline and upline and upline, and you go wherever you can. Or if you can't, then you try to find Crossline who will support you. Or you get, you know, I think they're circulating, somebody out there circulating my recipe box that's been redone in the neuropathy section talks about wrapping with Glad Wrap, the, you know, firm on the affected areas 2 to 3 times a day. So, yeah. Well, I can't sell it, and I don't pass it out because I have nothing to do with it. But I think if you got a hold of Lydia, she might be able to tell you where, if there's some people that are still sharing it, so where you can do that. Okay. I there's no question in my mind you need Ambertose inside your body. It's a saving inside and out. It works both together jointly. So, but not at the 3 tubs a month. Maybe she works at taking a, you know, 2 scoops twice a day. With a firm every day. I'd prefer that than 3 tubs. Got it? Right. Okay. Okay, you guys, we're going to jump. I know we could go on and on and on, but I've got to get to my training today. So let's, and great questions. And I'm glad my training's as short as it is so we could get through it. But we have only a half hour left, so let's jump in and talk about that. Because I want to talk about the ultimate sales formula, and the reason I want to talk about it today too, a lot of things. It happens to be the fifth lesson that's in this When Good Intentions Run Smack into Reality. We're continuing along with this book, which has got some great, great stuff in it for all of us. And this has the ultimate sales formula. And the reason I like to talk about it is because, number one, sales. The word sales always gets people. You know, I have people come up to me and they go, "Oh, Mary Jo, is this sales?" And a lot of network marketers, they tend to say, in fact, even some presidentials, they'll get up in front of a convention in presidential meetings and say, "We're not in sales. We're not in sales." And I just smile because I don't care. You don't have to be in network marketing. Every single human being on earth is in sales. Every one of us is in sales. If you don't like the word sales, you better re-examine what is the basis why you don't like that word and get over it, because every single thing we do is really has to do with sales. I laugh, I put down, "Are you married?" If you're married, that's one heck of a sales job somebody did on you at some time in your life, or you did on the other person, right? Or a combination of both, because that's what marriage is. When you commit to each other to be married the rest of your life, somehow you've sold that person that you're going to be a good spouse. And you can say, "Well, I never sold them on any." Well, are you kidding me? Everything you did on all those early stages as you were going and dating, that was all sales, people. That was, you were selling yourself. Have you ever gone on a date? Same thing. The only way you get a date, you have to be, there has to be some level of sales that happens in regard to that. You may not look at it or call it sales, but that's what it is. Have you ever comforted anyone? When you go and you try to comfort somebody and get them out of their grief and out of their depression, what you're doing is selling. You're in effect convincing them to change their action. It's a way to cause a change in action. Okay? Have you ever convinced your kids to do their homework? Again, it's another sales kind of a technique. Some of you are better than others at that. Some of you fail miserably. But it's all about selling. We're really out there selling. The word sales, though, some people, you know, in network marketing, we like to tell people, "Oh, you're really not in sales." And I'm going to say to you, that's not true. If somebody comes to you and says, because this is a classic response you get from people, they'll look at you and you'll go, "Oh, come on, let's go out and share with them." And they go, "Well, I don't really, I can't do this because I'm not good at selling, or I don't like to sell." When people say that to you, don't say, this isn't sales. Because everything in life, if you're going to convince people to change their action, then you're selling. You're selling them on a different lifestyle, are you not? Whether you want to call it selling, man. But when people say to me, I don't like sales, I'm not good at sales, I just had one of my new business builders say that to me. He's really convicted, but he says, I'm just not good at sales. And I said, but Mark, are you good at sharing? Do you like to educate people on something they don't know anything about? Do you like to do that? Do you find a level of satisfaction in sharing and educating people? And he goes, yeah, I love doing that. And I said, that's what it is. So temper what you say in response to that. You convert the language from sales to sharing and education. And a lot of times you're going to convert the person's attitude. You just need to help them make a paradigm shift. If they look at Manatech as sales, get them to look at it as sharing and education instead of sales. Doesn't mean we're not selling people. It just means that that's in effect what we really do, is we really share and we educate people. And I went over in my training this weekend, I said to people, I said, you know, when I'm up there on stage and I spend so much time giving seminars across the country and teaching people and educating and opportunity meetings, I get bombarded by people that come, clamor up to the front desk when I'm done, and they look at the products and they go, how do we get these? Do you sell these? And I love it when people say, do you sell these? Because when somebody asks me, do I sell these? My answer is absolutely not. I don't sell. And you know what? You people on this call, unless you're in the retail side of it, which I always suggest people don't get involved in because the cost of the product is already substantial enough that retailing it even makes it greater. But unless you're retailing it, you don't sell the products. Who sells Ambertos? Exactly. Manatech sells it. So when people say, Mary Jo, do you sell this stuff after I give a meeting? I look at them, I go, absolutely not. And the reason I don't sell it is because if I sold it by policy and procedure manual, I should be selling it at a retail price. And I don't want you to pay any more for it than you have to. So what I do is I get you associated with the company who manufactures it, so you directly buy from them and get a discount off of wholesale price. That's my response. And they look at me like, wow, like I'm doing them some kind of real huge benefit by doing that, which in effect I am versus selling it at retail. I'm giving them the right to buy it at wholesale, less a discount off of wholesale the rest of their lives by getting them associated with the company. It's a really great mechanism to use and language to use, people, to help you get beyond feeling like you're selling or being in the sales mode. Get out of that and just look at the reality of what we do. We don't sell it. Manatech sells it. We just go out and we educate people and we sell change in lifestyle is what we sell. We sell people on the fact that they need to change their lifestyle. We educate and share with them and they make the decision to buy from Manatech, not from you. So if that helps you with some of the language around sales so you can keep away, you know, from that word that you don't like or your adversity towards it, then great. If you have no adversity towards the word sales, then even better. That's great. I love the word sales because I truly believe everything. I believe what I do biblically, spiritually, is I'm out selling. When I talk about my conviction with the Lord, my walk with the Lord, I want people to buy into that. I want them to believe in God, and I want them to follow a godly path and you know, make changes in their lives. It's about making an impact on people's lives. And that's what, in this book, he talks about. He says, we are all in sales whether we like it or not. What is sales? Sales is nothing more than communicating in such a way as to cause action. You communicate to somebody in such a way as to cause action to be taken. That's sales. So that's what we're talking about. And in effect, in order to be successful in anything we do, sales is arguably the most important skill to ever learn. So it's a matter of how do I help people move and take different action in their lives? I want to be most effective at that. If I can be effective at getting people to change their lifestyle, you know, and make a difference in their lives, how many of those people am I going to sign up in Manatech? I'm going to sign up everybody. The more effective I am in getting people to move and seeing that they need to make a difference in their lives, the more effective I'm going to be in Manatech. So now if we get the concept of sales and we grab onto it and hold onto it, we dig in both our hands and grab onto it and say, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to create action for them to make a lifestyle change. What do I need to know? You need to know what Clemmer talks about is the ultimate sales formula. It's called want plus problem plus solution. That is the three-step formula, and it has to be in that order. Now, it starts with want, and many of you have heard me teach and train in the past. I tell everybody there are two basic principles to doing Manatech business. If you get these down, or really network marketing, if you get these down, you'll be unbelievably successful. Number one, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's so critical for all of us. People don't, because we worry about what we say. And you know what? If you come from your heart and you're a great listener, it doesn't matter what you say. You're going to do a great job because people are going to get that you care. So, but the second one is this is a need fulfillment business. And that gets into want. It gets into that first step. It need fulfillment business. We must find their need. We must find what they want. What does the person want? So many of you go out there and you just try to, you know, volcano over the world about what this is all about and totally go, you know, blow apart people instead of coming with a heart and a passion to find out what their need is. And so it's we need to approach people from a perspective of what is their need. Find out, play that, you know, Sherlock Holmes approach to find out what their need is. We sell virtues. We sell Greg Letourneau. We sell, you know, Michelle Desrochers. We sell all these testimonials out there when in reality the person doesn't care about all that. All they care about is perhaps my daughter who has asthma. Find the triggering device. What do they want? What is their want? What do they want? If you find what they need, what they want first, now you're going to be in a position to close. You're going to be in a position to take that person to that lifestyle change that you so desperately want in their life. So the other thing that holds us back from finding out what people want is that we're so knee-deep in our own needs. We're the needy. If you come across to people needy, 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 you're never going to find out what they need because they're going to look at you, oh my gosh, this is a piece of work that's in my life. I don't know. I don't want to be a part of this whole routine. So you got to watch out. What is your predisposition? A lot of people who are so desperate, they need money so badly, all they can do is go out and they try to sell the All-Star Pack because that $200 commission is all that matters to them in life is getting that $200. And they need the money so bad, and they need that power bonus, and all their life is all about money. It's about, I need to make money, I need to make money, I need to make money. Well, when you come across with that attitude, do you think people are reading that? Typically, they're going to read that like a book. They're going to see it in you, and when needy people go out there, if you're a needy person, how are you ever going to get the person to open up and reveal their wants and their needs? So be careful where you're coming from. We all can use millions of dollars. I trust everyone on this phone call could use millions of dollars, whatever you choose to do with it, to make a difference in the world. If you got a $1 million check in the mail tomorrow, you could use it in many ways. So the money is always there and is always an important side of what we do. But when the money is so critical that it shows on our face, in our talk, in our predisposition, in our body language, wow. We come with so many needs, we stop ourselves, prevent ourselves, because our needs become so, we become so self-centered on what we need versus what somebody else needs. So we have to be listeners, we have to be open, we need to be able to play that Sherlock Holmes. And in a lot of people, when you come out to talk to them, they're not going to just tell you what their need is right off the bat, are they? You're going to, I mean, they don't open up to you. They don't have, and that's why building rapport with people is so critical and you're approaching people and getting them started with Manatech. You need to build a rapport. And that's why we talk about using form, F-O-R-M, talk about family, occupation, recreation, motivation. That's just a good, you know, word to remember that allows you to open up and come up with new ideas of what to talk about to get that rapport going. But you need to be that Sherlock Holmes. You need to dig deeper. Sometimes you're going to get resistance around people sharing what their needs are because some people are very private. So, but you don't give up and don't just go on your agenda to try to get them signed up because you haven't accomplished step one. What is their need? What is their want? Until you find that, don't go to step two or you're going to find yourself being much less effective in prospecting. So, number one, find their want, find their need. Whatever that takes for you to do, find it, outline it in your head, get it very crystal clear, have tremendous clarity around your prospect's need. Number two in the formula, want plus problem. Why do we know there's a problem? Why do we know there's a problem? Does anyone know the answer to that? Well, if they have a need, the problem is the reason it's a need is they haven't figured out how to solve it yet, right? Okay? So therein lies the problem, okay? So anytime somebody has a need, you know there's a problem there, because the problem is that what is keeping them from getting what they want? They haven't been able to find it yet. They haven't been able to achieve it yet. They haven't been able to satisfy their needs. So that's the problem. So you need to identify the problem. And you need them to identify the problem, not you identify it. This is really a tricky part of that formula, because you can tell them, do you ever preach to people and then they don't move forward? You follow me? I can preach at somebody all I want. I can say, oh my gosh, here's your problem, this is what you're, but they're going to look at me. If they don't discover it and they don't see it for themselves, it doesn't matter how much Mary Jo preaches at them, they're not going to move forward. They're not going to grab onto it. They're not going to get ownership of it. They're going to consistently be in their own world, you know, relating to themselves and not hearing what I say, because they haven't seen it for themselves. So you need to find out what the problem is. What's holding them back? What is holding them back? Why haven't they solved the problem yet? And some people are going to tell you, oh, I've tried so many different things. And you go, oh, wow, great. And he says, have you ever looked at, and or my favorite is when people say stuff like that, is they say, well, that's a exact reason why you really need to look at this, because it's not like anything else in the industry. There's nothing out there like Ambertose, and that's why this can be a difference for you. So you need to be able to find out what their problem is. What have they been doing? What's keeping them from getting what they want? Some of you are going to say money. You know, they're going to say their scarcity. And then you got to start responding to that, right? What is that scarcity issue? Where is that coming from? How important is their health? Help them. And that's why I love to, with a lot of objections, I like to answer objections with questions. You know, like when they say something about too expensive, I go, well, what value do you put on your health? Put it back to them as a question, to let them play the Sherlock Holmes so they can identify what the problem is or what has stopped them from getting what they want in their life. What is it that they see as the problem so that you can help satisfy the problem? And the problem might just be, the problem is they've tried everything, you know, just like with people with different disease conditions. They just haven't come across anything that'll work. And again, now you have, the problem is they've tried so much, but they have never seen anything like Ambertose, and you have something to solve that. So want is number one. Number two is, what's keeping them from getting what they want? What is it in their lifestyle? What if somebody wanted to do the business? They wanted to make money. They said, oh, this is my problem. My problem is I can't support my family, or I set goals for myself that I was going to have a $1 million house by the time I was 45, and I'm not even close. You know, and I said, okay, well, so what's the problem? What's keeping you from getting there? And you just ask them what the problem is. And they'll say, well, I just am too busy. I don't have time. And you start, you got to have them uncover their problem, so that you can satisfy the problem. You can fulfill their want. You can satisfy their problem. And so the third step becomes the solution, the answer that will help them overcome their problems and get what they want. That's what you need to be. You need to be the fulfillment person in their life. How am I going to overcome their problem and get what they want? Help them get what they want, get what they need in life. And here's the step-by-step process to do that. And that's what we're there for. That is the ultimate sales formula. Want, what? Find their want, find their need, isolate it, make sure you get to the heart and core of what it is, and that in order to do that, you have to get them to open up to you, to share, and that takes listening skills and caring about the person and really coming across with the heart. Find out what it was. Number two, find out why they haven't achieved it yet. What is the problem holding them back? Why haven't they gotten the results they've had? And then number three, come up with a solution. Be the fulfillment mechanism for them. And then it becomes so logical for them. It's like as easy as taking candy from a baby. It's that simple. It's a simple process that occurs because you are their fulfillment of what their need is, their want is, overcoming the problem that's holding them back historically to allow it to happen. Okay, got it. So easy. Ultimate sales formula. Work it 1, 2, 3. Too many of us throw solutions at people before we ever find out the problem. We want to resolve it before we ever know what it is. We don't take the time and effort to really care about the person, love on the person, make them know how much we do care, come from the heart, find out what the core is, the core issue in their life, what's really, you know, and what's holding them back from achieving it. Those are the preliminary works that we got to do. So it's not just about throwing solutions at people. It's about really getting to know the people, getting into their hearts, getting into their cares, getting into their wants and their desires in their life. And that's the step one to successful sales. All right, any questions about our talk today? So it's pretty quick, so thank goodness, because we didn't have a lot of time, but that's the ultimate sales formula that Klemmer puts forth in his book, and what's holding us back is, of course, not following that order, you know, trying to be solution-oriented before we ever find out what the want or need is. Uh-huh. Form was F stands for family, O is occupation, R is recreation, and M is motivation. Okay, great. They're great icebreakers. Remember that word and you'll be able to break the ice with anybody out there. Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Isn't it great? The name of the book we're going through is called When Good Intentions Run Smack Into Reality, written by Brian Klemmer. If you wanted to get one, you can contact Lydia. We have them. We buy cases of them, so we get them for $8 a piece. So you're more than welcome to do that. Lydia will happy to send one out with an invoice for you. The notes, they're already out. If you're on my email list, you have the... Well, you know what it is? The content of the outline is identical. It's just the first part. Up at the top of yours, it says something like Chicago and what's happening with the stock. I have like 2 inches of information that I put up there. Get it? So you don't need a different one. I didn't resend it because it wasn't a substantial change. Yeah. You bet. Anyone else? Any other comments, questions? Thank you. About the vitamins? Oh, the patent. Why the patent? Oh, our patent. The Manitech patent is a patent. Yeah, let's talk about it in general because a lot of people have that question, so we can review that. A patent, you cannot obtain a patent on a 100% natural, you know, thing that occurs in nature. Like if I tried to go and patent what's in aloe vera, like the mannose. I can't patent mannose because it's a single occurring nutrient in a plant. So there's nothing unique about it. There's nothing that's formed with it. It's not something that we've constructed. It's something that comes natural in nature. So you can't patent echinacea, you can't patent St. John's wort, these things are non-patentable. The reason why Ambertose is able to be patented is because it's a combination of different natural ingredients which affect a specific result independent of the individual ingredients themselves. So they have a combination of 8 different saccharides in one product that results in phenomenal healing capacity. And they have all that listed in the patent. If you've gotten a copy of it, I sent it out to everybody last week, I believe, or a place where you could get it. The reference is where to download it. But they talk about all sorts of different disease conditions and the impact it has. Obviously, Ambertose as a product has a phenomenal impact independent of what mannose does all by itself. And that's why it's called a composition of matter patent. A patent on, like, let's say Coca-Cola is a typical type patent that we're used to, where you are chemically putting together a grouping of different ingredients that cause a specific result. Kind of like the patents they have on drugs. You can patent drugs because they're chemical creations mixed in a laboratory that create a specific result. Right? Everybody get that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and Vicki, the issue around that, let's just highlight that, because if the plant itself, like let's take the Morinda plant, which is the substance of noni juice, is the Morinda plant. The Morinda plant actually has 3 different saccharides in it, and that is not a violation of our patent, because it naturally occurs in nature. We can't stop somebody from selling noni juice as a natural supplement that comes from the Morinda plant. Now, if they took noni juice and they added mannose to it, now they're in violation of our patent. Does that make sense to you? Because now they're... Now, if you found a plant, and no one has ever done this by any means, the max I know of is 3, but if you found a plant on Earth that had all 8 of these natural occurring saccharides in one specific plant, we can't stop a company from selling that plant. Okay? Does that make sense? You got it? because they have a right to sell something that naturally occurs in nature. It's not a because they're not combining any of the saccharides. It's naturally occurring. Exactly. So there are glyconutrients in the marketplace. I mean, a mangosteen has glycos, tonga lemu juice, blue-green algae, morinda plant, any product that has aloe has a glyconutrient. Because all those are, they can call them glyconutrient products, and they are, but they're limited because they only have one or two of the saccharides, right? I'm sorry? I don't know the zango plant off the top of my head, but I could find that. That's not hard to research, yeah. Well, eight, we actually have more than eight, too, so everybody needs to know that. We have about 12. You bet. Well, and I love to tell people that, too. If you get up against somebody who says, we have glyconutrients, and I say, yeah, but are yours being taught in med school? You know, I love it. I love it to tell people, they teach ambertose in medical school. Now, they don't use the word ambertose, but they teach the eight necessary saccharides for cell-to-cell communication in medical school, okay? The meaning of the word organic? You can respond by saying, you know, what is the definition of organic? Here it is. Yeah, sure. That's not a problem. Yeah. 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 Well, ours are a natural food source. Yeah. That has, it has oxygen, hydrogen. But that's more of a legal terminology. What you're talking about is the legality that comes out of federal legislation today, that whether it allows you to call your product organic and put a stamp on it as organic. That is not a definition. It's more of a marketing legal restriction, that you can't market it as organic unless it has... Okay, I forgot to tell him.